NAFTA 2.0 has some barbs in it aimed at China. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. The newly negotiated USMC trade agreement between the U.S., Canada, and Mexico is thousands of pages long, and buried in it is a provision clearly targeting China. Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson covers trade and is here to explain. So, Tracy, why and how is China getting a shout-out in this updated version of NAFTA?
So China isn't explicitly named in this section that we're talking about, but non-market economies are. Non-market here means refers to economies where the government controls or manages things that the market would determine in other economies. So maybe setting or heavily subsidizing certain commodity prices, for example. The new NAFTA says that if one of the three member countries wants to pursue a free trade agreement with a non-market economy, it has to notify the other two countries. And if it does complete a trade deal with a non-market economy, the other two countries can leave NAFTA within 6 months and form their own bilateral deal.
So they're talking about China, though.
Yeah, exactly. China likes to think that it's a market economy and it's actually battling to be recognized as one as at the World Trade Organization. But the U.S., Europe, other countries are fighting that, saying China's government still has a really heavy hand in its economy.
And this non-market language was not in the old NAFTA?
No. But countries could always give 6 months notice and leave the agreement, as President Trump has threatened to do numerous times. But this writing in this explicit language for leaving, this explicit reason for leaving, that's new.
Well, why is this a big deal? I mean, if countries could always leave NAFTA if they wanted.
Well, critics think that this amounts to giving the U.S. veto power over deals that Canada and Mexico might want to pursue with China. A member of Canada's Parliament called it a severe restriction of Canada's independence. But Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, he said yesterday that Canada will continue to deepen its trade relationship with China, and this clause isn't going to hold it back.
Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson, thank you. Amazon, as we've heard, will pay 350,000 of its workers at least $15 an hour. Large companies, and Amazon is worth $1 trillion, have always had to make choices about how they give back and how they invest in themselves. Amazon may be doing both, as Marketplace's Erica Barris reports from WESA in Pittsburgh.
Workers who get paid more have more to spend. CB Bhattacharya, business professor at the University of Pittsburgh, says Amazon is probably increasing pay because it's
the smart thing to do business-wise. But I'm sure they understand that, you know, this is kind of the right time to implement such a policy.
That's because we have a tight labor market, and Amazon's been under pressure to raise wages. Plus, it looks good for the company, like in 1914 when Henry Ford started paying workers a then unheard of $5 a day. It got Ford great press, kept workers on the assembly line, and they were able to buy the cars they made, which made Ford richer. These days, corporations tend to give back through philanthropy. John Forer runs the Institute for Corporate Responsibility at George Washington University.
And you could see companies making a choice that it is better for the company to move some of that money to their workers than it is to put it in some foundation fund and then help people who may not be as tied to the company.
Or tied to the company's success. I'm Erica Barris for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is up 0.4%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up in the 2 to 0.3% range, with the Dow future up 57 points. The 10-year Treasury yield is at 3.08%.
Hi, my name is Jennifer Slabaugh from Columbus, Indiana. Make Me Smart and Marketplace are two of my favorite shows, both pushing me to think outside of my normal boundaries and making issues important to me that I wouldn't have considered before. I became a Marketplace investor because I feel it's important to vote with your dollar for media that makes a difference in the world. To join me as a Marketplace investor, donate today in whatever amount works for you at marketplace.org.
According to the Federal Reserve Bank of Cleveland, nearly half of all workers will at some point get displaced. Doesn't mean they get fired. It means their jobs just disappear through no fault of their own. Recovering from a displacement can take decades. But you know what can help? Living near your parents, according to a recent study. From WCPN IdeaStream in Cleveland, Adrian Ma explains.
A couple years ago, Amber McKinsey was working at a pop culture magazine in New York. She was there on contract, but says she loved it. Then one day...
It was very abrupt. I just kind of got an email in the middle of the night saying, your contract is no longer going to be continued.
Before long, the now 31-year-old McKinsey says she was pretty much broke. So she made a phone call she'd been dreading.
I had the realest talk with my parents, and I was so scared, and I was crying, but I was like, look, guys, I need your help.
Her parents in New Mexico started sending her money to cover rent and other expenses, but more than a year later, she says she's still struggling to find steady work.
My parents and other people have said, why don't you go home?
Wouldn't that help her get back on her feet more quickly? Well, Cleveland Fed economist Pavel Krolikovsky actually looked at this question. He and his colleagues combed through data on 20 and 30-somethings who lost their jobs. And they found an interesting pattern.
Young adults who lived close to their parents actually did a lot better after a displacement event than people who lived farther away.
After an initial job loss, he says both groups saw their annual incomes drop about 10 grand. But those who live near their folks return to their previous level of earnings within a decade, while many who live far away never fully recovered.
Is the moral of the story, like, stay close to home?
No, that's not the moral of the story.
Krolikovsky says there's a big caveat. Parental proximity mainly benefits displaced workers with kids of their own. You know, free childcare. But also, research shows people who move away from home often make more money. Not that that's much comfort for Amber McKinsey, who's currently working part-time as a producer at a New York radio station.
It's been rough and it's been embarrassing.
But she says she's fortunate to have parents who can help. And she's not alone. In a recent Bank of America survey, roughly a third of millennials said their parents help pay for rent. In Cleveland, I'm Adrian Ma for Marketplace.
And I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.